Normally on a Sunday, on Easter, what I do in my message is I will take one of the gospel accounts of the resurrection and just read through it and make some comments on it. I'm just going to do something different this morning. Many of you know that I spent a week in Hawaii to bury my mother. I was born in Hawaii. My mother was born and raised in Hawaii. And by the way, our Hawaiian friends, welcome. God bless you. From Maui, we're from Oahu, but it's all one big state, and we love Hawaii. And I thought what I would do this morning is share a passage of scripture that I read at my mother's graveside, and then share as a way of testimony the difference that Easter makes. We can talk about faith and believing in God and Jesus is risen from the dead, but what difference does it make practically in the way we live and the way we face death? I want to share that this morning. Here's the passage I read at my mother, one of them that I read at my mother's graveside. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 13 to 18. Paul is writing to a Thessalonian church that was undergoing suffering and persecution for Christ. And he was trying to encourage them that when you see your loved ones dying and some of them out of persecution, don't despair, because that is not all that there is to life. There's something beyond the grave. And here's how he puts it in 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 13. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. And when he talks about being fallen asleep, that's a euphemism meaning they've died. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, we who are left at the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. I want to show you, I brought up a few pictures of the service real quickly. There are two urns there. The one on the left is my brother's, who died in January and was buried with my mother. And then on the one on the right is my mother. That's at the vault of our family. We have four generations of Browns and Hans going back to the 1800s in Hawaii. And my mother was placed with my brother. There are 18 different urns like that in the vault, and there's room for about one or two more, I think. But my mother also asked that her ashes be separated, part be buried with her family, and then part with my father, her husband, Sergeant Leo Hahn, who served in Hickam during the attack of the Japanese, and then later on around the world. And so there's a picture of my mother and father. We're now at what's called Punchbowl Cemetery, a military cemetery in Honolulu. It's actually the crater of a volcano, an old volcano, right in the middle of downtown Honolulu. And there is her, the other urn. There were two urns. We did one ceremony on Saturday, the one with my family, and then this one on Monday. What they do, if you've never seen this done, they dig a 3-foot hole right at the foot of the grave of the one that you're going to be buried with. And so right there is one of the workers at Punchbowl putting my mother in the ground at the foot of my father's grave. And there's what it looks like with my father at the top where the flag is, the top of the grave. And he was buried a casket burial. And then at the bottom, at the foot of his casket, my mother buried. And she's now with her husband and with her family. With the Lord. You know, I held in my hands that little urn, and I thought to myself, after 102 years, this is all that's left of my mother. A few ashes in an urn. I would despair if that was true. But because of Easter, that's not the end of my mother. If you ever have a chance to read Ecclesiastes, read it. It's an interesting book written by King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. But there was a time in his life where he pursued happiness without God. He left God out. And the book is about the conclusions that he comes to. When you look for happiness, when you look for success, when you look for wealth, and you leave God out, it all is just like vanity, blowing in the wind. It's meaningless. And here's what he says about death. Man's fate is like that of the animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so dies the other. All have the same breath. Man has no advantage over the animal. Everything is meaningless. All go to the same place. All come from dust, and to dust all return. And when you believe that man is simply a highly evolved animal, nothing more than that, then that's the conclusion you come to. But when you understand that we were created in the image of God, and we were created to live forever with God, then you have hope beyond, even beyond the grave. And I want to share with you this morning the difference Easter makes from the text I've just read. And there are five ways that Easter makes a difference when you're at the graveside of a loved one and you're saying goodbye. The first one is Easter means hope. Look at verse 13. We're back now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant of those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Death doesn't end it all. And those few pounds of ashes that I held in my hand and placed in the ground and in the vault, I knew was not the end of my mother. It was the end of her body. But even then, God has another body planned for her. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 13, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Interesting, isn't it, that our hope in Christ not only prepares us for the future, but it helps us in the present, the here and now. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, because our real life, our eternal life, is yet to come. And in this verse I just read, when Paul says, I don't want you to grieve, it is not saying that Christians don't grieve when they lose loved ones. Of course we do. A lot of tears were shed at my mother's graves. A lot of them. But we don't grieve like people who have no hope. That's the whole idea. The grief of the person with hope has a conclusion, which is joy in heaven. The grief of a person who has no hope, but that death ends it all, ends in despair. So don't grieve like that. Don't grieve out of despair. Grieve rejoicing that there will be life even beyond the grave. When Sue and I took our last trip to Africa, our mission trip, we were able to go to the very southern tip of Africa. And when you're at the very bottom of Africa, you're looking out into the ocean. And on the left side is the Indian Ocean. And on the right side is the Atlantic Ocean, and that's where they come together, at the bottom of Africa. The Indian Ocean is very warm water, and the Atlantic Ocean very cold water. And when those two waters come together, they form an incredible current, a back washing of current, and also storms at the bottom of Africa. It was at one time called the Cape of Storms, because of the storms that occur because these two oceans come together. It was also called the graveyard of ships. Over 3,000 ships lie sunken off the bottom of Africa. And it wasn't until 1488, when a Portuguese explorer by the name of Bartholomew Dias sailed around the southern portion of Africa from the Atlantic into the Indian Sea, in the Indian Ocean, the first European ever to sail successfully around the bottom of Africa in 1488. There's an actual monument down there to this Portuguese sailor because of him successfully finding a way to go from the Atlantic to the Indian Ocean without sinking his ship. 2,000 years ago, our Lord went through the gates of death. And by the way, that cape that was at one time called the Cape of Storms, you know what it's called now? Good Hope. The Cape of Good Hope. Because there is a way without perishing to get around the bottom of Africa. Our Lord walked into the pit of death and 3 days later walked out again. And we have hope because of him. So death is no longer a place to collect the bones and the ashes of our loved ones who we will never see again. In fact, there's a door on the other side that leads out, and that door is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God, thank God for that. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. What does that mean? The anchor for my soul, the reason I'm not given over to my emotions and given over to despair, is that I have an anchor. I'm locked in with this hope that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for my sins and conquered death. That great old hymn, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in our Savior's love. So that's the difference Easter makes practically. As you bury your loved ones, there's hope beyond the grave. The second thing that Easter does for us, look at the next verse, verse 14. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. We believe that Christ is coming again. He promised that he would. And he proved to be reliable by dying and by rising from the dead. When Jesus comes back, he's not coming back alone. The angels will be with him, and everyone who has died, believing in him, trusting in him, will come with him. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to see your loved ones. They're coming back with Jesus. Now, their bodies are still in the ground, and we'll see that in a moment, how they will rise, but their soul and their spirit, their being will come with Jesus. So we don't have, our reunion begins when Jesus returns. And then we're caught up to be with them forever in the sky. My mother worked for a time after we returned to Hawaii from my father's last station, the last place he was stationed in the Air Force. In 1960, he retired and we came back to Hawaii. My mother went to work for the civil service. And she worked at a number of places, but one place she worked was Fort DeRussy, which is down by Waikiki. And it's right next to the R&R Center, R&R Rest and Recuperation Center, during the Vietnam War, when the soldiers, the troops from Vietnam, would come back to Hawaii, and then their wives and their family would come, or husbands if they were women, would come and greet them and spend a week of R&R with the troops. And what my mother would do, which was foolish of her to do this, she would go and have her lunch right where she could watch the buses roll in and the troops get off the buses and embrace their wives and children. And she said, I could never eat my lunch because I was crying the whole time. Sue would go down there with her and eat lunch with her. She said, we never got any lunch to eat because as when you see a soldier embracing his family, does that not bring tears to your eyes? Of course it does. The reunion. And so what Easter means is reunion. Your loved ones and the believers of all ages, we will one day see again. Revelation chapter 7 talks about this reunion. Chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. What a great reunion awaits us, brothers and sisters, when we get to heaven because of Easter. we will see our loved ones again because of Easter. A third thing that Easter means, freedom from fear of death. Look at verses 15 and 16. According to the Lord's own word, and you can trust the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left at till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Now, if we're still alive, and we never know, Christ could come now, before we're caught up to be with the Lord in heaven, before we're raptured, all the graves in all the world are going to open up, and the believers are going to rise up. And they're going to be taken first, so that we know we're not leaving them behind, and then we'll be taken up to be with them forever in the skies. There is going to be a great day when even death will be ended when our Lord comes back. And I know that somehow in God's miraculous way, he's going to take those few pounds of my mother's ashes, and he's going to, when he comes back, they are going to somehow rise up from where they are, and he will take those ashes and transform those ashes into an eternal, glorious body that my mother will inhabit the rest of all of eternity, and for all of eternity, and for you and me too. I don't know how God is going to do it. I don't know what he has planned, but I know that that's what the Bible says, that there will be a transformation of the earthly body into the eternal heavenly body in which we will live forever and ever. Now, if that's so, and if we believe that, what fear is there in death? I was watching just recently an interview with Larry King. You all know who Larry King is, probably the greatest interviewer of all time, they say. He was interviewing a man from Venezuela by the name of Jason Silva, a very young, good-looking, he's a filmmaker, he's a philosopher, and they were talking about other things, about death. They're both rich, both successful, both well-known, highly respected, popular men, and they're scared to death of death. They were talking about, do you fear death? Yes, I fear death. Because they believe that death ends it. There is no afterlife. And that anybody who believes in the afterlife is only hoping, giving them some hope when they face death, that there's more to it than just dying. But neither one of them believe in an afterlife, and they fear death. And yet, they've in this world, they've reached the top in their particular fields. And Larry King even said what he wants to do. He wants his body frozen. So that when they figure out later on how to unfreeze it, he can come back and do some more interviews. That's Larry. He does not want to face the fact that he's mortal, that he's going to die one day. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 to 15 says this, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all of their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. You see, when you fear death, that it ends it all, and there's nothing beyond death, you're a slave to the one who holds you that, in slavery to that. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 to 57, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come, death has been swallowed up in victory. And this is what was Lloyd quoted this morning. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, honestly, folks, we all fear death in one degree, because the most significant, the most basic human instinct is self-preservation. I don't want to die. I do everything I can to protect myself from dying. But the fear, taking away the fear of death, means that even when I do die, and even if I die in a way I don't expect, I know that on the other side of death, there's glory. So the fear is not that we all want to die. We don't. That would be foolish. So I admit with everyone else, yes, I have a fear of death. That's why I drive carefully. I put my seat belt on and I have, you know, fire alarms in my house and all the other things we do to protect our lives. But we know that we're mortal. No matter what I do to protect my life, I'm going to die someday. And I don't fear what's going to happen when I die, because I know, because of Easter, there's a glory beyond even death. The fourth thing that Easter means, fellowship with Jesus. Reading on in our text, verse 17, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. You know, being with my loved ones again, seeing my mother, grandmother, brother, aunts, uncles again is very wonderful, but being with the Savior that I sing about, I study, I pray to, I walk with will be beyond wonderful. He is my life, and to know that I'll be with him forever. What a glorious thought that is. John 14, 1-3, Jesus promised his disciples, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know, I'm not sure all that heaven's going to be, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, 9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it even entered into the mind of man what God has prepared for those who love him. We have a few little glimpses of heaven in the Bible, but what heaven is going to be like fully, I'm not sure. But I know one thing, I'll be with Jesus. And that's enough. There's a story told of a doctor who lived in the country and would have his patients come to his house for treatment. And there was a man who had a terminal illness that the doctor was talking to. And this doctor was a believer in Christ, and he was sharing his faith in Christ with this man who had opened his heart to Christ. And the patient said to the doctor, doctor, tell me what heaven is going to be like. What is it going to be like? Because I know I don't have long to live here in this world. The doctor didn't know what to say. All of a sudden, at the door, there was a scratching on the other side of the door. It was his old hound dog. He said, you know, I can't tell you all that heaven's going to be like, but you hear that scratching? That's my hound dog. And he knows I'm in here. He hears my voice. He doesn't know what else is in here or who else is in here. But all he cares about is his master is on the other side of the door, and that's where he wants to be. What a great illustration of what heaven. I know that Jesus will be there. He's not going to disappoint me, but I'll spend my eternity getting to know him, loving him, and worshiping him face to face. We've done that only in a spiritual way today, because we cannot physically see him, but one day our eyes will behold our Lord forever. And then finally, Easter means comfort when the way gets hard. Last verse, therefore, encourage each other with these words. Is there a greater word of encouragement when someone is down than to say, remember this, God has a plan for you that's going to end in glory. No matter how difficult it is here, the best is yet to come. You cannot imagine what God has planned for us. So be of good heart, be of good cheer. I love the story of the little girl who loved more than anything to drive up to her grandmother's house. It was a 3-hour drive in the car, and it was a windy road up the hills, and she got sick every time she went. They had to frequently stop and let her do her thing, get over the sickness, and they would drive on to grandmother's house. Finally, she was telling a friend, if this is so, why do you go to your grandmother so often? And she said this, being with my grandmother is so wonderful, it's worth getting sick, getting there. And you know what? I know life isn't all that you hope it could be, even for believers. There are some rough spots in the road that goes to heaven, folks. It's not always easy. It's not always comforting. And so whatever sacrifice you make getting there, it'll be worth it when you're there. I want to close with well, one verse and then the words to a song. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 to 11. God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are alive or dead, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So my friends, be of good courage. Whatever your difficulties are, whatever your struggles are, there is something beyond this world that is so wonderful that you'll look back and say, why did I complain? Look what God had planned for me all along by his grace. This song, I'm not going to sing, but I'm going to read the lyrics to, by Jeff Moore, entitled, That's When I'll Know I'm Home. That's when I'll know I'm home. There's a place where truth will always be spoken and promises can be believed. A place where your heart can no longer be broken and loved ones will never leave. So if you're longing for a place of belonging, the home you dream of is waiting for you, where no one will ever be hungry or cold, no one will hurt or ever grow old, no one will die and leave someone alone. That's when I'll know I'm home. I'll be home forever, no pain or disease, and all will be equal and all will be free. True love will come and we will fall at his feet. That's when I'll know I'm home. Father, we thank you for the home that you are preparing for us right now, putting the finishing touches for some of us. For others, you have a lot more to do before you call us home. But whenever that is, Lord, sooner or later, we know that we will rejoice in the presence of our Lord, the loved ones who have gone before us, Father, and we will begin to enjoy that eternal home that you prepare. Easter guarantees this, Father. And we thank you this morning that we can share in that blessed hope. I pray there's not one in this room, Father, that will walk out of this door, walk out of this church without faith in that hope. You died for us, Lord, through Jesus Christ. You rose from the dead. And Father, we hold fast to that faith, thanking you, Father, for the glory that awaits us one day. We pray all of this with gratitude in Jesus' name. Amen.